Welcome to the Covenant Life Church podcast. We hope this message allows you to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference.
Praise God. Well, we are going to continue on with our series that we started last week on Jesus. Amen. Just coming in and leading up to Easter Sunday, if you will. I just really stirred in my heart to just talk about Jesus, not just to talk about him, but to talk about what he's done for you and I through his death, burial, and resurrection. So many times we talk about it on Sunday, Easter, but there's so much that's been accomplished, so much that's been provided for you and I as believers, and I want to take time to do that today. So, one of the most powerful revelations that we receive from the finished work of Jesus's, you know, punishment, his death, his burial, and resurrection is that when you are born again, when you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, amen, you put your faith in him as Savior, you believe that he died on the cross, you believe that he was raised to new life, one of the most important things that changes our life is the revelation of who we are in Christ. It's understanding that Jesus didn't just die for you and I to get a ticket to heaven, but he actually died for you and I to be transformed. He died, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, he took the opportunity has been provided for those that will put their faith in Christ, that will confess him as Lord, those that are born again, to actually have their whole nature changed. And to go from a sin nature, a nature that is dead to God, a nature that is weighed down by sin, right, to a nature that is now alive unto God, a nature that now I can have relationship with God, in a nature to where now I'm taking on a whole new identity, and my identity is now being found in Christ. So I want to just take some time this morning and just share a little bit about that to help you. I mean, I've taught a whole course in Bible school on this. So this is something it's impossible to fully exhaust it. Right? It's something that we're growing in and learning every day, but I want to just kick some things off for you because I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you in this in your life, because when you grab a hold of this, it really changes everything in your life, and it has the capacity to change everything in your future. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 is a scripture that we use many times. It says, therefore, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So when you are born again, you are born into Christ. And whenever you are born into Christ, you're born again, you take on this new nature. And the Bible says the old things are passed away. Right? Old things are passed away. So prior to you being born again, you had this life that you lived, right? You had this life that you lived, this nature that was at work in you. And the Bible says that when you are born again, that now that nature is now in the past, and you've got a totally new nature. You become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And that word means to be recreated in Christ. And I'm going to break this down a little bit for you today for you to have some more understanding. But I want you to grab hold of this. This is what I want you to take away with today, is that after you meet Jesus, everything changes. Right? Let me say it this way. The more proper way to say is everything has the potential to change, because it depends on what you do with it. Now, there is a change that takes place in you, because you were once dead and now you're alive to God. and you're born again, right? So there is a change, but there's also a soul you have to deal with, and there's also a flesh you have to deal with and moving forward in life and walking things out. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7 is where Jesus is talking, and he's explaining about being born again. It says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now think about that statement. Unless somebody's born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nobody that is not born again can understand the kingdom of God and how it functions and how it operates. The Bible says over in Corinthians, it talks about the carnal mind is actually enmity against God, but a carnal mind doesn't understand spiritual things. So when you become born again, it changes to where now it moves from being a philosophy, it moves from being a religion, it moves from being just something that is information on a page, it moves from just being a belief system to actual reality in your life. When you're born again, it changes and it opens you up to begin to read the Word and the Word to come alive to where the Word becomes transformative in your life and begins to produce change in you. But you have to be born again. Church attendance does not accomplish salvation. Giving doesn't accomplish salvation. Your prayers don't accomplish salvation. What accomplishes salvation is Romans 10, 9, and 10. It's to believe in your heart, right, that Jesus died for you, that God raised him from the dead, and then it's to confess with your mouth Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's an act of faith. It's not an act of doing. It's an act of faith and response to the gospel, to the truth. So prior to being born again, the revelation that a person is going to receive is they're going to be receiving the revelation, I need to be born again. You see what I'm saying? So you go to a stranger who's never met Jesus, doesn't know Jesus, never had an experience, is not born again. When you go to them, you're not going to talk to them about the end times. I mean, you can, but they're not going to receive revelation about that. The revelation that they need is the gospel of the kingdom. It is Jesus died for you. He paid the price for your sin. Are you listening to me? He was raised up. He's raised to new life. And if you will put your faith in him, then you will receive the free gift of salvation. And then once a person receives that, then they are now positioned to be able to have understanding of other things. That's why I don't argue with unsaved people about other spiritual things. It's fruitless. Because the Bible says they do not and they cannot understand the things of God. Like, that's what the Word says. And so our goal is a person to be saved first, because the Holy Spirit is at work in them to bring that conviction and bring that revelation to them of salvation and the need for Christ as a Savior. So Jesus is saying you must be born again if you want to be able to see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus says to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh," that's your natural birth, "is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." All right? So Jesus himself is giving the necessity of being born again. And I know for some of you, this is like 101. This is simple, but it's good to be reminded of it. Amen? That being born again is required. It's necessary if you want to see the kingdom of God, if you want to walk with God. Now, when I'm born again, my new nature in Christ is alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I've been recreated in the image of God. right? I'm taking on this new nature, and the nature that I'm taking on is actually the original nature that Adam had in the garden and Eve before they sinned, where God came and fellowshiped with them and talked with them. They're alive to God. But when sin came in, death entered into the world, and now man was cut off. There was no interpersonal real relationship as far as being alive unto God on the inside in my spirit. I'm alienated, the Bible says, from the promises of God. I'm alienated from being able to walk with God until I am born again. Until now, I've been brought back into, in Christ, into the kingdom of God. I'm born anew, the Bible says. And now I have this whole new life and relationship in Christ. And it's important for you to understand that it's a relationship that's in Christ. It's not a fleshly relationship. It's not just a natural relationship. It is a spiritual, it is a supernatural relationship. I've been born into the family of God. I'm no longer dead in my sin and trespasses. I'm alive to Christ now. So let me show you from the Word, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sin. So before Christ, you're dead in your trespasses and sin. And the Bible says that in you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked. Listen to what it says, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Don't ever forget where you came from. Because the longer that I've walked with God, the longer I've been in the church, the more I see people forget where they came from. And when they see other people that aren't where they are, you can become critical. And I've done it. I've done it in my own life and looked at people and, you know, but you've got to remember where you came from. The only difference between where you are today and where you came from is the grace of God. It's not anything that you've done. And we have to remember that in our lives, because if not, it'll be like when Jesus gave the parable about the Pharisee and the sinner. And the Pharisee goes before God and the Pharisee says, God, I thank you, I'm not like them. I thank you that I'm not like them. That's what the Pharisee says. But Jesus says, the sinner says, God, just have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. You know? And I find myself more in these days in my life, in general, in these years, just saying, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Because I'm not perfect. Amen. And I want to be sure that I'm just walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and doing my best with that. But I've watched it time and time again in our lives that we easily forget where we come from. And we don't want to do that. Amen. That's what allows us to be patient and kind and gentle with people, is we don't forget where we came from. Amen. It says, but God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In other words, while you and I were still living a sin life, or while mankind is in sin, Jesus still paid the price for them. He still paid the bill for them. He still accomplished the work. The whole world has been made righteous in Christ. That's not the question. The question is are they going to receive by faith what has been provided for them? It's like somebody who goes to the store and pays the bill for you, but you never show up to pick up the product. He wasn't waiting on you to be righteous to die on the cross. He died on the cross, and every person is predestined in Christ, but not every person walks in Christ and receives what Christ has done. Amen. You're not, listen, people are not going to go to hell because they sinned. It's going to be because they rejected Jesus and didn't accept what Jesus had done for them. You see what I'm saying? Because if we look at sin across the board, you know, the Bible talks about sexual sin. Like, there are different types and effects. But in the same regard, disobedience is just the same amount of sin as going and jumping on looking at pornography. Now, the effects can be different, but the sin is the same. And we like to categorize it. And we all bend the categories to what we do well at. And what we don't do well at, you know what I'm saying? We are like, hey, that's really wrong. But it's all wrong. Amen. Now, the good news is he's not mad at you for it, right? Jesus paid for it. But I want to encourage you in that. We don't want to look at it that way. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. He says, and raised us up together. Remember me talking about that last week? We've been raised up together. We've been made to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And to demonstrate the riches of his grace. And then verse 8, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So today, don't get your hopes up. Maybe I should have. But today, if I had somebody standing out there with a free gift for every one of you, and you all walked out and received the gift, no questions asked. You know what I'm saying? Not, you know, did you listen today? Did you get something out of the sermon? Answer a question. Like, nothing like just a free gift. If you would receive it, right? Then that makes everybody equal. And we live in a society and in a world where we have wanted to make people equal or unequal based on race, based on, you know, background, based on culture, based on different things. Listen, man has been plagued by that. Why? Because it's always been intended to cause division. If you go back to the Tower of Babel, they had one heart, one mind to build this tower, and God said, nothing will be withheld from them. So what did he do? He confused their languages so that they couldn't walk together that way in that hour. The enemy's always at work to do that. Amen. But his grace and the gift of salvation makes us all equal. It makes us all the same. It doesn't make one person better than the other. I grew up for the most part in church, but I have my challenges. I have things I experienced. I had things that I had to deal with. Amen. We all, there's not one person that's lived a perfect life. So the gift of salvation is across the board, and he removed all the qualifications so that no person would be in a position to say, well, I earned this. I did this to get this. Not one person can do that. We're all the same. We're all equal. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's good news to me. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's step in real quick about our identity in Christ, because I think a couple of things come to mind. And so you may say, well, Pastor Rob, after I got saved, why did I still maybe struggle with the same thoughts? Maybe after I've got saved, you know, it could be years later, why do I still deal with the same things? That maybe you just kind of rehearse over and over and over again and never really have shaken or gotten rid of, right? You say, well, if I've got this new nature and I'm a new creation in Christ, then why isn't this changing or why isn't that changing in my life? Well, I'll give you two simple reasons. Number one is that your mind has to be renewed, right? Is your mind has to be renewed. Because if you don't renew your mind to the truth, then you won't be transformed by the Word of God. So that nature is in you, right? The I've been born again, right? The spirit man, the Peter calls him the hidden man of the heart. I've been born again. I'm alive unto God, right? But now I've got to change this up here because I've had however long of this thinking and it's got to be transformed to be able to think like Christ, to be able to think the way that He does, to be able to have a picture and be able to have an understanding of who I am in Christ. And then as I do that and grow in that, then I'm able to transform the way that I act and the way that I live and the way that I live my life and what I do. You see what I'm saying? There's a progression in that. And so Ephesians 4, 23 and 24, it says, and we are renewed in the spirit of our mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So it's I'm not earning my salvation, but in salvation I have a responsibility. And that responsibility is to put on this new man, right? It's to see my life transformed, right? According to what Christ has paid the price for me to do. Listen, you're always going to deal with this flesh and blood. You're always going to deal with your mind to a certain degree until Jesus comes back and we put on a glorified body. Right? There's still going to be that challenge because we live in this world and there's influences in this world and the enemy can plant thoughts into your mind. He has that ability. That's why the Bible tells us to take every thought captive, right? And cast down every vain imagination that exalts itself against what? The knowledge of God. So there's a transformation that's taking place in our life and it's being renewed in the spirit of our mind and I'm putting on this new man with intentionality. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, you may have heard it before, but that word transformed is the word where we get metamorphosis. It is a complete transformation. I'm not renewing my mind by just putting information in. I'm actually, when I take the living Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and it's powerful. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. It divides asunder the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So when I take the living Word of God, right, I'm born again, I'm alive to God, the Spirit of God lives in me, and I take the Word of God and I consume it, the Spirit of God causes that Word to become revelation, to become life to me, and through revelation and life of the Word of God and my obedience to it, transformation begins to take place. And now I'm putting on Christ. Every scripture that I obey, not in legalism, but in truth and revelation, I apply it to my life. I'm putting on Christ and I'm being transformed. I'm being changed. And that's what the gospel is and what He has. It's not just for me to know about God. As I said before, the more I know about Jesus, the more I know about me. The more I know who I am. Because why? Because I'm created in His image. And I can be like Jesus. Now listen, I'm not Jesus. Don't go away and say, Pastor Rob said he was Jesus. I'm not Jesus. But I can be like Him because I'm created in His image. Oh, that's life-changing. We're so caught up trying to be good, whereas if we would just surrender, we could just be like Jesus. And the goodness will take care of itself. We're so caught up trying to be a good Christian. Well, if I could just go to church enough, I'll be a good Christian. You should go to church. Why? So you can hear the truth, so that you can meditate on the truth, so you can apply the truth, so you can be changed by the truth. You're not gathered together just to get information about God and tuck away. I've got it. I've written it down. I've tucked it away. If you don't apply it, James says faith without works is dead. So if there's no application of the truth. Now listen, the application of the truth does not make you righteous. Jesus made you righteous. The application of the truth, listen, it just makes the truth work. It just makes it work. So if I apply the word in my life, I'm not going to get loved anymore. I'm not going to be more righteous before God. I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. When I apply the word, it actually causes the word to work. And then it changes me. It makes me different. It helps me in my life. Now, the other part of this is our flesh. See, my spirit's not the problem. When I'm born again, I'm alive unto God. My spirit's not the problem. My spirit has been perfected in Christ. Now, the only thing that I can do is I can strengthen my spirit or I can diminish my spirit. So where I listen to my spirit and my spirit is strong in the Lord. The Bible says to be strengthened in the inner man by the power of Christ. There is a strengthening when I pray in the spirit. The Bible says we edify ourselves. Right? When I pray in my prayer language, I'm edifying myself. I'm building myself up on the inside. So there's a strengthening that can take place on the inside. Right? And then, so that's not the problem. The problem is my thought processes, which is the number one problem, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that's the number one problem. But then I have this flesh I've got to deal with. I've got to deal with this flesh, and the Bible says we just read it to where we once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh according to what? The course of this world. And I'm going to show you what the word says. And so your flesh will always operate unchecked. Your flesh will always operate according to the appetites of the flesh until you crucify it or exercise a dominion over it. In other words, you and I have to crucify our flesh. We have to exercise authority and dominion over our flesh. That's our responsibility. That's not just God just to do all the work for you. Listen, He's already done the work on the cross. But now He's given you dominion. He's given you authority. He's given you the ability to crucify my flesh and blood and to put it under. And to take dominion over it. And I'm responsible to do that. Now the good part is I get to do it with His help. I don't have to use the flesh to take dominion over the flesh. It doesn't work. I've got God's help. I've got the Spirit of God in me, right? In my life, I've got the Word of God that He's given me. So now I've got the tools necessary to say no to the flesh, and yes, to the spirit. And I have the ability to be able to do that. Galatians 5, 22 through 25, it says, but the fruit of the spirit. If you want to know if you are living a spiritual life, right? You say, how do I know if I'm living in the spirit or living a spiritual life? Well, here's one of the litmus tests or the fruit of that. It says the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, right? It's peace. It's long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I don't ever hear anybody quoting that scripture. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody got that in their back pocket, and they're always whipping that out, right? Self-control, amen, it's important in our life. It says, against such there is no law. Listen, and those who are Christ's, Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And so I for you and me, hey, I want more love in my life. I want more peace in my life. Like, I want to walk in those things, more joy in my life. Well, those are a fruit of living a spiritual life and not living a flesh-ruled life, but a Spirit-led and dominated life. And listen, there's always going to be a clash there. Why? Because you're not perfect. You're not perfect. So there's always going to be this tension and this clash between the flesh and the Spirit. There's going to be a clash and there's going to be tension at times between an unrenewed mind and the Spirit. There's nobody that's living perfect in that arena. If you are, I'll be happy to sit down and you can come up and take over. Right? We all live in this place. That's why we have the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God, and the second one is to love your neighbor. Why? Because love covers. Love doesn't condone, but love covers. And don't mix that up. Amen? But we live that spiritual life. We walk in that. Let's read Romans chapter 6. Because it's another good scripture that we can look at. Verses 5 through 14. It says, "For if we've been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore," he's talking to them, "do not let sin reign," right? "Don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." He didn't just say God would take it all away. He says you have some responsibility in this new life. And it's not for you to make yourself righteous. Jesus already did it. It's not for you to save yourself. Jesus already paid for it. But in light of who I am in Christ, in light of the fact that I'm alive unto God, in light to the fact that Jesus has defeated sin, in light of those things, this should be the byproduct of my life in Christ, is that I crucify the flesh and its passions. I have the authority and the ability, the power to do that by the grace of God. And God's grace is not simply his favor. It doesn't stop there. His grace moves into his power to be able to do it. It's his power enabling you. That's why we get to rest in Christ. That's why we get to put our confidence in him. And I'm not performing for him. I'm letting him work out of me. And it begins to work itself out to where I'm not living in sin. I'm not living under the weight and condemnation of sin because it's already paid for. I'm going to make mistakes. So I'm not devastated by that. Right? Because my life is in Christ. I'm in him. And I've still got to deal with this flesh, and I've got to deal with those things in my life, but I don't go out living every day afraid if I make a mistake and say, well, God's going to punish me, or I did. I don't have to live that way. Nobody, that's no way to live. That's the way religion is. Religion is a performance. Grace is based on relationship. It's understanding that, man, it's been paid for. Right? So I'm a child of God. I have a new nature. And I'm no longer under the dominion. What does that mean? It means that I don't have to submit myself to sin. I don't have to sin. I don't have to live that life. I have dominion over that in my life. Why? Because number one, sin has been paid for, so it doesn't have the bite of the guilt and condemnation. Come on now. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. It doesn't have that bite anymore. But sin pays a wage. In this world, if I go out and I do things that are contrary to the truth, right? There's a wage that sin pays. The wages of sin is death. And so when Jesus died on the cross, he broke the power of that. He broke the dominion of sin in your life to where now you don't have to succumb to that. You don't have to live under that weight and pressure. And even if you do make a mistake, you don't have to live under the guilt and shame of that because it's been paid for. Right? Now I get to walk as a new creation in Christ Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, renewing my mind to the Word of God and walking that out. There's a byproduct of this new nature. And as I just embrace who I am in Christ, I'll give you a great example. So in my teens, I struggled a little bit with pornography, right? I was introduced at 9 years old to it. And so I struggled with that. And that thing would try to come back into my life, and I had to make a choice. And the choice could be I either allow myself to be devastated if I slipped up, or I had to remind myself who I was in Christ. And that's not who I am. And me reminding myself who I was in Christ is what broke that. Not me getting devastated over it. Because we can get devastated over making mistakes all we want, but that doesn't mean that it'll produce change. But knowing who you are in Christ, that changes everything. Right? It changes everything in our life. So now I'm able to crucify my flesh with, why? Because I died with Christ. That old man is dead. And this new life that I have, I live to Jesus. And I have this whole new life. Galatians 2:20, and I'm wrapping up. He says, and I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. Listen to his words. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, because we still have this flesh, we still have to live. I live by faith in the Son of God who what? Loved me. Listen to the 2 points. Who loved me and gave himself for me. And religion keeps I in the middle of your life. Because then it's I go to church. I do this. I do that. I did this. I pray 10 hours a day. I do these things. And I becomes the center of your life and not Jesus. And he's the one that's loved you, and he's the one that's given himself for you. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in what? Newness of life. Praise God. We have this new life that we get to live and walk in. Colossians 3:9-11, it says, do not lie to one another since you have put off the old man. And that word put off literally means to put off, right? So I'm putting that old man off, right? And I've put on the new man who is renewed, what? In knowledge, according to what? The image of him who created him. So me putting on that new man is me putting on Christ continually and reminding and letting myself know this is who I am in Christ. This is what his word says about me. This is what he thinks about me. This is what he's done for me. This is what I have access to. You see what I'm saying? I'm renewing myself to that. And then it goes on in verse 11. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and in all. See, Jesus becomes the center of your life. He's the one that you live for. And I want to remind you this morning how much He loves you. You're loved by Him. This is not you and I trying to climb a ladder to hopefully touch Jesus' robe. He came to you and I. He came to this world. He put on flesh. We talked about that. And He's the one that died. And it's because He loves you and He believes in you. Amen. So we don't need to live our life trying to be good, trying to do a lot of good. I mean, yes, but those are byproducts of just drawing close to Jesus. If you'll make Jesus your aim and you'll renew your mind to the truth and you'll allow the Spirit of God to lead your life more and more every day, then the fruit of the Spirit will take care of itself. An apple tree doesn't have to work hard to bear apples. It just bears apples. Why? Because it's an apple tree. Now, if you ask an apple tree to bear oranges, that's a different story. Now, listen to me. This will help you. Just work on being in Christ, and then the fruit will come. Because you are called to bear the fruit. Amen? And as you do that, then, man, you look back and say, wow, look at the fruit. Not because I'm somebody. I'm just trying to be like Jesus. I'm just trying to be in Christ. Amen? Bow your heads with me.
We are so excited that you joined us today. For more information, go to myclc.church. Have a great day.